When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
I have made arrangements amongst the townsfolk to investigate the ailment of our fair little city.
Well, I've got a bracer that I strap on.
Lipsinky, what is it that this bracer does?
Press the diamond and it shoots out and it's a never-dulling shovel that I used to dig my holes.
Lets you in and you enter. Well, the basement is just back and down the hall there.
Guys. There's something on the other side of that door groaning.
You see skeletons in corners of this room, decorating the walls all around. You see a giant rib cage circling the center of this room.
If you've lost something in this world, Orcus can provide it back to you. Who knows what's on the other side, but we're about to find out.
We flash to Lipsinky and Varnox, jumping backwards through the open portal. The sound of bones crunching echoes out into the stale air.
Now, welcome to the promised land, Miss Pip Diggins. This is Thanatos, the home of our demon prince and lord of the undead, Orcus.
Why did you bring me to this cursed place?
There are some beings with special abilities that the demon prince has taken an interest in. You are one of those beings.
Hello? Is there somebody there? Can I hear you?
Oh boy.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Tom Lair.
Hey, that's me. Yep. And today I will be playing Flint Firebeard.
And Amy Moore.
Mm-hmm. That's me as well, and I'll be playing Thea Amastasia.
And the cat came back the very next day. It's Carla Maxted.
That's me. I will be playing, TBD. I guess we'll find out together.
This is our new gimmick we have where we just keep killing Carla off.
I mean, I'd prefer it if I could last more than two episodes. So let's see what happens this time. I liked her. She was real fun.
We don't know that she's dead.
She's not dead. She got sucked into a portal. Who knows when she'll be back?
Who knows? This is a big
universe out
there.
Maybe we'll do a spinoff with Lipsinky and whoever my new character is tonight.
Oh, that's fun.
So you guys can have a week off.
Okay.
It'll just be me on an adventure with myself.
Where we
that
have
just sounds like life.
Where we have lots of adventures is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. There's one-shot adventures. There's other arcs. There's a whole bunch of cool things happening. And when you are a patron of ours, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Joshua Dixon.
Thank you, Joshua.
And now, unless there's anything else that we should talk about, I don't think so. Fuck it. Let's play D&D. Flint and Thea, you find yourselves in the basement of an Orcus stronghold, if you will. Varnox has just pulled Lipsinky through a portal into what you can presume to be the abyss. You hear coming down the hall the moaning of zombies.
The ground beneath you begins to shake, and shooting up from the ground are skeletal arms that begin grabbing at your legs.
So, what's the game plan here? We gotta get out of here.
I'm lifting my leg and, like, kicking. I'm like, well, I think the game plan is we leave alive, and we try not to, I don't know, kill anybody else that doesn't deserve being killed.
Okay. So, how do you think we get out of here?
I'm continually stomping fingers. Skeletally figures.
Oh yeah, no, I picture Flint like a little boy kicking at a puddle, like he's just kicking hands out of the way.
You know, back down the hall you came where you hear the zombies coming from, there were various offshoots taking you back up to street level. In this room you see no other egresses except for the one you came in.
Is my monkey finger still in effect?
How long does it last?
As long as a normal monkey finger does, Russ.
As long as I need it to. Well, I don't know because it's no longer on my sheet.
You deleted it off your sheet?
Yeah, because I used it. It's a one-time use only thing.
Yeah, but continuity.
Whoa.
That's
all I have is whoa.
Whoa.
I can't even remember the real name for it.
Protection from undead.
From the undead.
Up to 10 minutes.
Oh, then yes, it's absolute.
What? You cracked it when you started going down into the place. Okay, you've got like a minute left.
No, it's okay. I can't remember what it does.
Okay, it's no longer in effect because you deleted it off your page. You dropped it way back there. You know, it got sucked through the portal. You don't even have it. Down in the abyss somewhere, there's a bunch of undead just being like, I cannot go near this spot.
Good. That makes Thea very happy to know that she's interrupted some undead lives. Some undead lives?
That's right.
Yeah.
Just roll with it.
Yes. The unliving in the abyss.
That's the undead that are now just outside the doorway.
I say we, you know, GTFO.
So we gotta carve our way through these guys?
Yeah, you first.
All right.
As you begin to move, make a strength check.
Who?
Both of you. Oh. Because there are skeletons grabbing at your legs.
I've had worse things grabbing at my legs before, Russ.
How's a 6?
Ooh, not as good as my 19.
We don't have to rub it in.
No, Amy, I felt like you needed to know.
Flint, you begin to charge towards the door, and you hear Thea fall to the ground.
Ah! That was my fall.
As the skeleton arms are grabbing you and begin hitting you.
I'm screaming, no touchy!
And you take 14 bludgeoning damage.
Well, shit. Right.
Ironically, muscular skeletons, hey?
Well, there's a lot of hands.
Now, if I remember correctly, Russ, Thea was closer to the door than I was because I'd made my way in to fight certain things.
It would make sense, considering I had taken, like, no damage.
You know, you went in into the back of the room because you were trying to sneak around.
Sure. I can't remember that that's what I wanted to do.
I'll take your word for it. So she's a little ways back there.
Yeah.
All right.
Go on without me. Just kidding. Just kidding. Flynn, help.
All right. I'm on it. I'm going to head over to her and I guess pull her up.
Yeah, make a strength check once you get there, and then that'll be to get you both out.
23.
You lift her handily up and out, shattering bones as she flies up into the air and now is riding piggyback.
Perfect, let's do it.
As you charge towards the door, you see just passing the first set of stairs, the undead horde is in front of you.
You probably should put me down. I'm not going to help you out in battle like this.
Yeah, I mean, you can just hop off anytime.
I get down. I dismount.
So, just for further play here, we're not really going to initiative this. We're going to more skills challenge it.
Okay.
And then see how we go. So, you describe what you want to do, and then we'll justify it.
Okay, I'm thinking insight. No.
What do these undead really want?
What's their motivation for this?
I would like to use acrobatics because Thea, growing up, was put into an academy, as was all higher up. Like,
I don't care about your backstory. How are you using it?
Oh, I'm going to dance my way through them all like slide and like bend and yeah.
So you're going to do the thriller to get to the stairs.
Yes.
All right. Roll me in acrobatics.
4.
You describe to me what you do and then I'll tell you what happens.
I'm like, I got this. And I, and I run toward the horde and I'm aiming for in between and I'm trying to move very quickly. So I'm like sidestepping and like trying to do like a twirl and then like shimmy between a couple others and like just essentially outmaneuver them and go faster than they are. Cause you know, they're pretty slow. They're not like walking dead zombies or no. What are the other one?
28 days later.
28 day later zombies.
Oh, those fast.
Yeah, you get up and you like it's like last second you turn to tell Flint what you're gonna do, and then the zombies reach out for you, and you are going to take 16 bludgeoning damage as they reach for you and beat you.
Ow, that didn't work.
Okay, is she like in the middle of them, or is she still on my side?
She's
of
still on
land?
Your side. She didn't get very far.
Okay. Thea, check this out. And I pull out my rod of lordly might. And I make it grow. Yep, that's what happens. I hit the 5th button on it, and it becomes a portable battering ram. Yep. Used to usually break down doors, but let's just break down some zombies with it.
I like where your head's at.
So, Thea, you're going to help me with this, and we're going to gain an advantage on any strength check we use when doing this bad boy.
Go for it.
So I guess we're going to go with athletics for this one, Russ. And not only do we gain advantage, but I gain a plus 10 bonus on the strength check as well.
We're made
so
to break through
we're
doors,
okay.
Barricades, or other barriers.
Barrier?
I mean, it's a barricade
it's
of zombies.
It's a barrier.
All right.
It's a barrier just stops you from doing something.
Right? First one's a 25, but I'll roll again because I have advantage. Know. Why not? Only a 24 that time.
24 wouldn't have done it, so good thing you had the 25.
Oh, good thing I rolled the 25. Then.
Okay, you got any damage on that, or does that just is a thing that happens?
I mean, I imagine it just like busts open
let's just narratively say. Okay, so you rush forward, picking Thea up. Like, she just grabs onto it.
Yeah, I'm pretending to, like, help, but really I'm just being kind of carried along.
Motivational boost. And you crash through the first wave of zombies, which clears you past the staircase, leading back up to the street there. Arms and legs and heads and everything are flying down the hall.
Super idea. Let's head up these stairs.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get out of here as quick as possible.
You run up the stairs, and you find yourself back in the hospital towards the back of where the building is. You come down the hall where you knew Lipsinky's room. You recognize where Lipsinky's room to be, but there's something different about this. As you step into it, it's like an illusion begins to fade on the walls. And it goes from being a very nice room to an old, broken down, rotting building. You see the doorways, even before the illusion dropped, that were open, or were closed, most of them have been broken open. All except one. Both of you make a perception check.
Oh,
nat 20.
Oh, well, 27.
I feel like even though I don't have as big of a bonus, mine is somehow
better.
I
know, me too.
Both of you begin running down this hallway, and you see movement towards the one closed door. Underneath it, you see the snout of a rat poke out.
Do you think there's anything in behind that door?
I don't know, maybe. If there are rats there and they haven't run yet.
I mean, we still got this battering ram in action. Want to just take it down real quick?
Yeah, take that door down.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was all right, Russ.
It's all right.
It's all right.
He can do it.
Okay.
I mean, it was a 27.
Before you do that, that definitely is good. Before
the
you
rat on
that.
The other side of the door's like, the fuck?
God damn.
The rat runs out and sees you running towards it and begins making gestures towards you. And it turns around, runs back under the door as Flint barrels through.
Killing the rat.
Was the gesture one that conveyed, like, please break this door down?
Make an insight check.
Can I make an animal handily?
You're not handling the animal.
Not yet.
Insight. That's a 14.
That's a 22.
Yeah, I mean, both of you get the feeling that it was trying to get you to do something. But as you barrel through the door, who do they see?
They see the rat, Perseus. They also see...
Perfect.
A very tall, big, strong humanoid male, like 6'4", 240, big, big fella. He has kind of like long, dark, scraggly kind of hair. And his skin is really, like, quite gray and mottled and not fresh-looking, let's say.
As we batter our way in there, I'm like, who are you?
Well, I've had many names. I've been called Artemis or Morn or... Granger or Lee.
That's great. What's your name today? We've got some shit happening behind us.
Yeah, undead horde's coming. Well,
why didn't you say so? Let's deal with that first.
Oh,
I mean, our plan is to get out of here. So
we're straight up leaving.
You coming with?
Yes, of course. Of course, I'm coming with.
Are you a captor here?
Am I a captor?
Are you a captor?
Did I lock myself in this cell?
Did you capture yourself?
It took me so long to... I'm like, wait, she did say the wrong word, right? It really took me a minute to be like...
Yeah, no, she definitely asked if you were a captor.
That's not what I meant. I'm under a lot of pressure here. My monkey finger stopped working. Have you been captured? There we go.
I have. I came to town just days ago, and I ended up here. They had this plan and the undead, and I didn't want to help, so I ended up here.
Oh.
Yeah, that Varnox was a real piece of something.
Is this your rat?
Oh, this is Perseus.
Super cute. Okay, let's get out of here.
Okay.
You head back out down the hallway and towards the front of the building, and you hear... rumbling coming from behind you as the building begins to fall in on itself down at the far end. You get to the door and you look out the window, and in the Muddy Bunny Alley, you see zombies and skeletons closing in on the front door. Across from you, you see the wall of the Muddy Bunny Pet Store, and there is a ladder that goes up that wall along that building.
Are there still bunnies in the shop window?
Yes.
Okay.
Make a perception check.
12.
It looks like there's bunnies still in that building.
Okay. I yell, look, there's a ladder, but I'm going to try something. And I smash the glass to the Muddy Bunny Pet Shop. And I want to use animal handling to tell the animals to start attacking the undead. That's right. Monty Python style.
That's not where I thought that was going.
It's where it went. May I?
Yeah. Sure.
This is why I'm on the podcast. No other reason. That's a 16.
So what are you smashing the glass with?
I grab a brick from the derelict building.
And you throw it through the glass and it shatters, drawing the attention of some of the zombies. And you see these bunnies hop out. And as they hop out into the street, the illusion fades on the pet shop, and they too are zombies. And they come rushing towards you as well.
This is awful.
Oh, no.
Guys, I made it worse. I made it worse. Go up the ladder.
Typical Thea behavior.
Couldn't have a horde of bunnies, could I? Just couldn't give me even a horde of bunnies.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't catch which name you actually gave yourself.
I did.
If you did. Okay. Okay. Then you are up. Sure.
Good sir.
Carla, you're up.
Kind sir.
You two, take the ladder. Go first. I'll follow you.
Okay, I don't know you. I don't really like having you at my back, but at the same time, I just let loose a bunch of zombie bunnies, so, okay.
The two of you begin to scramble up the ladder. Are you doing something in particular, or are you just following in behind?
I'm just following in behind.
All right, make a dexterity check.
It's a whopping 7. This big beefy boy, not that dexterous, surprisingly.
Should also make a distraction check, because my fine ass is right above you, so it's probably slowing you down just staring at it.
Flint and Thea, you run and rush up the ladder, and you hear behind you more of a slower pace with your new friend as they begin to climb up the ladder, and zombies grab onto your legs as you get a few rungs up.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, I don't know this, though. Yeah. I'm not looking.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Okay, I am just going to try to kick at them, so I guess, like an unarmed strike, probably? Is that how you want me to play that?
Yeah, just a straight strength, or... Yeah.
Okay. So strength check is 18.
Yeah, you manage to kick free and begin reascending the ladder. All three of you make it to the top, and it's only... Well, this is probably one of the taller buildings. It's 3 stories high. So you are up at the top of this building, Next building surrounding it is at least a story down. You look out and you see there weren't a huge number of people, but there is a considerable amount of zombies and skeletons. And you see that same illusion on some of the people that you described as fish-eyed or dead fish-eyed. And it's fading, and it's showing that they, in fact, were zombies as well. But all surrounding the building that you're in and moving towards from the city itself are undead.
I kick the ladder over. I don't know if the undead can climb ladders, so.
You look down as you kick it over, and you see skeletons that were trying to climb up.
Not today. Okay.
It is Flint's turn.
Under a lot of stress.
Off in the distance, you hear the flapping of wings. And you see Donnie coming up and over the horizon, moving slower than he usually does. And then you hear the neighing of horses towards the tavern.
Are the horses zombies as well?
You can't see them.
Oh my
you
God.
Can hear them.
Why would you even put that thought into Russ's mind?
Well, everything else seems to be fucking zombies. all right, so we're on a 3-story building. The ladder behind us was the way up. Am I able to perceive any sort of path down from here that looks relatively safe? Or at least free of zombies, and I'm willing to risk it otherwise.
Roll perception.
I can do that. It's a 14.
You see off to the far side from where you came up, the building opens onto one of the main streets. You see a couple canopies on the far side on the building across the street from you, and one a little further down on the same building that you are standing. A couple canopies that maybe would provide some assistance.
Could totally bounce off
do
one.
Do these canopies...
Aladdin style.
I was going to say, do these canopies appear to be, like, the soft canvassy type that I will, like, land nicely into, or the hard type that I will bounce off of and then roll onto the next one and then comically bounce off that one and roll down to the street?
I mean, they seem fabric-like. You can't tell exactly what kind of fabric with that roll, but they seem... Not hard bouncy. And then there, it's not zombie free, but there are fewer zombies than the other side.
Okay, well, less zombies seems like the way to go. How far up? We're 3 stories up, so roughly 30 feet?
Yes, so yeah, from to the ground, you're 30 feet. To the canopy on the building that you're on, you're probably 20 feet. Across, you know, it's 10 feet down.
Just do a little... But across, Pythagorean so. Theorem. And
yeah.
Right, so. Just a little quick math. Well, I'm thinking I can use that Rod of Lordly Might again and turn it into a 50-foot ladder.
There you go.
Right. I will hit button number 4, hook this ladder onto like the rooftop that we're on, and throw the rest down to the street.
No roll required. That's a ladder.
Perfect.
You climb
but
down.
But I will do like the fun thing where people like slide down ladders instead of climbing down them all slowly.
That's going to require a dex check.
Yeah, there
yes.
we go. That's more like it. That is, with bonus, a 16.
Yes. So the two of you see Flint hit another button on his Rod of Lordly Might and a ladder comes forth and he throws it down. And says a cool line.
Just dropping in.
As he jumps over the edge, sliding down towards the street. Do you two follow?
I look over the edge. Have I seen Donnie?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, I look over the edge. I'm like, Flint, you go on ahead. Go maybe, I don't know, to the horses. Donnie's not looking so well up there. He's flying weird. I'm going to go check him out.
And for your new friend, you see a dragon off in the distance coming towards you and them talking about Donnie.
Kay.
No, leave that up to you if you make a connection.
Kay? Are you not going to answer me, Tom? Kay?
I mean, I didn't know that was the universal sign of, are you okay?
No, I think she was saying...
All of the instructions. No. Got it. Sorry, I'm having a day today.
You're having a day today.
You've splatted on the ground, so she knows you're not okay.
Yeah. No, I'm horribly hurt.
No. Let's take that again. I lean over the edge.
I'm very badly hurt.
I think the wound is gangrenous.
I'm just very badly burned.
I just peek my head over the edge and I say, Donnie's not flying too good up there. Guac and I are going to go check him out.
Got it.
And I look to our big gray buddy and I'm like, you cool?
I guess I'll go help your friend.
Okay, yes, that sounds good. Okay, and I throw, I take out my serpentine jade owl and I say, Guac, I need you. And I throw it in the air and poof, a giant eagle appears.
Nope.
Why?
Because you don't have an eagle.
Oh, a giant eagle appears.
Hey, we're both having days.
I'm having so much having a day. Let's try that again, but this time I know what my animal is that I've had for the past 3 years.
We only talked about
years.
It 30 minutes ago.
We sure did. I take out my jade serpentine owl. Didn't I even say that?
You did.
Oh, damn it.
You said the rest of it.
There's the
That's
switcheroo.
The twist. Yes, it's the surprise. And I say, Guac, I need you. And I throw it into the air and poof, a giant owl appears. No. Not a giant pigeon. How disappointing. I get on her back.
Right.
Fly to Donnie.
Owl flies off. You climb down the ladder.
Yes.
Carla character?
Carla character.
What would you like me to call you?
Your Majesty.
I'm sorry, Russ. Tonight's a mess already.
That's good. I love it.
Probably not that.
You can go with like a characteristic or like, you can just call you Beefy Boy.
Sure. Ooh, Beefy yeah. Boy. Perfect.
All right. Beefy Boy.
Yeah.
Yes, I went down the ladder to follow Flint.
All right.
Did you do a cool dude style like Flint did?
No, I didn't think it was that cool.
Once you get down to the bottom, you make your move to go catch up towards Flint. Both of you make an attack roll as zombies are coming near you.
12.
17.
Both of you strike into a couple zombies as they come towards you, knocking them clear, and you make your way back towards the tavern.
Russ, did the zombies have any weapons, or were they just like... Wah.
They're just zombies. Okay. Just like that, yeah. Right, yeah. No weapons on those
I don't have any weapons
zombies.
Yet, but I'm keeping my eyes peeled.
Yeah, so you just kind of come by and clock them in the
yeah,
old
I do.
Face.
You're just a punching machine.
I'm a puncher.
Brute force. Okay, you're flying towards Donnie. What
I
are you
am.
Doing?
I'm on Guac's back, and as we're approaching, because obviously we are very obvious, like I'm flying the same level, I start waving my hands in the air, like I do very much care. And I'm like, Donnie, are you okay?
You see, he's got very slow wings that kind of just punch him up, and then he drops down, and it's like,
yeah, good. I may have had more than one cow, and
oh
I'm kind of full.
You're slow because you're gluttonous?
Because I ate a lot of food. They said he said I could just go to town.
Well, yeah, he wanted to recruit you for Orcus's undead army.
Is Orcus the god of cows?
No.
Is Orcus the god of food?
No.
Is Orcus the god of all
Did you
of the
not
things
hear the
that
undead?
Are good?
The undead part of this?
No, I've got the meat sweats, babe.
Dude, look down. It does feel right, doesn't it, though? Look down. Look at what's happening in the streets.
There's not. Oh, look at that.
Okay.
What happened there? What'd you do? They were a nice group of people, and now they're all...
It was all an illusion. Half of the population is just you know, dead. We don't really have a plan right now other than to get back to the horses.
Okay.
We've picked up a big beefy dude as well.
Like a cow?
No, not like a cow.
Can I eat it?
Like you need to eat anything right now.
I'm still kind of
little. Barely fly.
Watch this. And he kind of shimmies back and forth. Made some room.
Oh, my God. You may have to carry him.
Who?
Our new dude.
Nude dude? Is he naked too?
No, I promise myself only one other naked adventurer. Flint fits the bill, and that's it. Come on, let's fly back. So we fly back together as we have this conversation.
Donnie's very slow.
Oh, God.
Flint and Beefy Boy, you make it back to the tavern, and you see zombies. You see your horses, Clip Clop and Tiny, are getting dangerously close to a horde of zombies. They are trying to back away. The zombies are getting closer.
Okay. Have I noticed that my companion has no weapon?
Make a notice check.
Roll
yeah,
for
I mean,
noticing.
You definitely know they're following you and know that they have... Well, I don't know if you know that they don't have a weapon, but you know that they have punched zombies in face. And they were just broken out of a prison where you knew Lipsinky had all of her shit taken, right?
Okie dokie. Question about an item that is attuned to me. Am I able to loan it to someone else and it will still serve in like its primitive function without any of the bells and whistles?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
No bells and whistles, but it'll be a weapon.
Okay.
I mean, had a wagon. You guys could have had extra weapons in there. You don't want to give me one of your weapons.
Well,
I don't think we're wagon first.
I don't think we're at the wagon yet, though.
Fair.
So noticing that my companion has no weapon because they've just been face punching their way through everything, which I admire, by the way. I take my moist tongue longsword, flip it around, and hand it over handle first, and say, "You might need this."
Thank you. I'll make good use of it.
Perfect. And I turn my rod of lordly might back into the double-bladed, two-handed axe that it deserves to be.
Okay, before you see six zombies and four skeletons, most of which are getting near to the horses. I think we're going to enter initiative at this point. You can roll for initiative as well. Depending on where you roll.
16. That was more than 10, you guys.
It really is.
Six more.
12.
7. And would you say 6 zombos and how many skeletos?
6, and I think I said 4.
Can Donnie and Guac roll as well, or should they just follow after me?
Guac will follow after you roll for Donnie.
Well, Donnie only rolled a 3.
Jesus. Okay, so the zombies and skeletons are up before both of you. They're just going to continue walking toward, or shambling towards the horses. The zombies are going to make it to the horses. It's fine. Horses have a lot of stats, right?
Mm-hmm. They're strong. They're large.
One of
them is
giant.
That's true. One of them is giant.
Well, the giant one, Tiny, is going to take 12 bludgeoning damage from one of these zombies. Clip Clop is going to take 6.
Hold on. If these zombies, like, scratch you or bite you, do you become a zombie too?
We'll talk about that when everybody dies.
Excuse me?
You don't know.
Said when everybody dies.
What?
No.
Yeah, that is what he said. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
I mean, oh, hopefully he meant those bad guys.
Yeah, those bad guys.
That is what he meant. He was talking to them, not us.
Are there even bad guys who aren't zombies at this point?
The skeletons are going to turn, and they have bows in their hand, and they are going to fire towards Flint and Beefy Boy. Flint, that's going to be a 22, and Beefy Boy, that's going to be a 23.
I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Flint, you're going to take 5. Beef Boy, you're going to take 10 piercing damage as arrows come fly towards you.
And I'm going to only take 2 of that 5 damage, Russell.
Okay. And then Thea, you're flying in and you are just coming over the building and you're seeing that these zombies are attacking your horses. Arrows are flying towards Flint and your new friend Beefy Boy.
I mean, I feel like we just are going to call this character yeah. this now forever.
Or at least until we accidentally let him die in some horrific way. How far out am I?
You're coming over the nearest building. So you are on top of Guac. So movement-wise, you could definitely make it to anywhere you need to be.
I'm going to Eldritch Blast these sons of bitches. I'm going to do 3 beams, and I'm going to... how many are on the horses?
6 zombies between the 2 of them.
My God. Okay, I'm going to hit 2 of the zombies, one that's on Clip Clop and one that's on Tiny, and then I'm going to go for one of the skeletons.
Okay.
Okay, that's 17 plus 26. 25 and a 24.
Okay. All 4 of those. All 4 of those people hit.
Wow. Okay. Right?
Someone's impressing Beefy Boy early on.
Trying to make an impression. Okay, it is going to be 1d10 force damage. So I will roll for that. Thusly. Well, that's only a 1. The next one gets a 3. And then one of them gets a 5.
Okay. Got it. Flint.
Nope.
Nope. Guac.
Nope. Yep. Okay. My giant owl is going to swoop down. Whoosh, and it's going to do slashing damage with its talons. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does the owl have large talons?
It has large talons. It's a melee weapon attack with a +3 to hit. 13. She's going to go for one of the... she's acting of her own accord.
Yeah.
She's going to go for one of the zombies that's on Tiny. Because they bonded. Giant owl, giant horse, you know.
Just makes sense.
To hit, it's 2d6 plus 1. 2 plus 1 is 3. That's 4. Slashing damage.
Did you roll to hit?
Yeah. Oh, no. I didn't roll to hit. I forgot about that. Sorry. 17.
That will hit.
Well, I'm gonna roll my thing again then. That's a 1, just like it was before. No. That's a 4, so that's 5 plus 1 is 6. So that's slightly better.
Were you going for the same one that you hit or a different one?
One that's on Tiny. So I don't know. Probably one of the ones I hit, I guess.
Okay. Flint, you're up. You got arrows flying towards you. You see Thea and Guacamole come swooping in towards the
horses. To save the day.
That's what you see. We're here in the middle, and we're back now.
We're here and we're back. We're both of those.
We're here and we're back.
And we're back.
It's like we never left.
Hey, we're here.
Except Tom left, because he's not
here. Yeah, Tom.
But he'll be back.
Yeah, you just heard his voice because he was in the episode, but now he's in Mexico, and then in 5 minutes, he'll be back. So for you...
You don't have to miss him for too long.
You don't have to miss him. He's
we've been missing him.
We have been.
But you don't have to.
No, he's there. Where we would like to go with this is we just gave away 2 copies of Baldur's Gate, The Descent into Avernus. And we want to thank you for participating in our contest.
So many people did. It was awesome.
It's so nice. So many people left reviews and subscribed and just filled our cold little hearts.
Our cold, dead hearts. I love when we do contests like this that just... encourage you guys to just say nice stuff.
I know, it's so self-serving. Like, kind of gross, but I love
gross,
it.
It's, but I love it because I really feel like a lot of these are like good and honest.
It's one of those things that every podcaster asks for. And when you're just doing the podcast day in and day out, you're recording, you don't hear from anybody necessarily every day, you editing late nights, you forget that there are people at the end of the earphones.
Yeah, are people even listening to this right now?
But when you receive just a universe, just a whole,
am I just talking over Russ? Just
when you receive just a whole bunch of really great reviews, it just, again, very self-serving, but it just reminds us how good we got it, that we have such great listeners like you. And if you have reviewed us, we encourage you to review other podcasts that you enjoy, because they love to hear it too. I can pretty much guarantee it, unless they're one of those podcasts that just don't like good news.
Which I don't believe, because yeah, as a podcast, as people who don't have bosses, you're like our bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a performance review.
And we like a performance review. We want to know how we're doing.
Who doesn't like to be told they're doing a good job? Keep it up. A little slap on the back, a little pat on the shoulder, a little rub of the thigh.
Not quite that, but we just want to say congratulations to Captain Mike. He's not only one of our patrons, but he's an avid subscriber and great reviewer.
Just a super stand-up guy.
And also Joe, who left us a wonderful review and showed us that he was subscribed as well. Both of them have received or have been sent. I fired them off in the mail the other day there.
Merry Christmas to you guys, or Happy Hanukkah, or Crazy Kwanzaa.
Hopefully it gets to you quickly with that holiday mail. But they have received their copies, or will be receiving their copies, of Baldur's Gate, The Descent into Avernus. And now we're going to read some of those reviews that were left for us. Again, just to say thank you that you have said these things.
Great irreverent fun. Listening to the cast riff on each other and the story unfolding in unusual ways is one of my podcast listening highlights. Great stuff. The cast is friendly, the story and characters are engaging, and there are some truly heart-wrenching moments. Definitely worth a listen. And that was Skeptical Oki on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you, Skeptical Oki.
I love someone with the name of Skeptical who then goes ahead and says nice things. Because you know what? I don't, like, maybe that doesn't happen very often. Super skeptical. Can I read one?
Yes, please do.
Nice. Okay, this one's titled, I Can't Even With These People. These people have actually compelled me to start playing D&D. I guess I rolled low on my insight saving throw. Their witty banter and hilarious comments on life kept me listening, even during some of the slow episodes. If you pass up this opportunity to listen to them, you're just a doink. Edit. Their contests are amazing and aren't impossible to win. It's true. That is from Malkeith via Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Malkeith.
We'll keep it going here. This one, amazing podcast. Some would say life-changing. That means they listened because I asked them to tell us how life-changing we were. It goes on to say, all in the title. Love the way Amy, Carla, and Tom get into the game and emerge you into the world. Russ is an amazing storyteller. This podcast makes me laugh out loud at work. Go become a patron so you don't miss out on the amazing extra content they create. That's from Nightshade77X via Apple Podcast. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Speaking of that, real quick, while Tom was away, the Amy and Carla did play a game completely randomized and totally ridiculous. And that'll be Patreon bonus content soon. And it was a real hoot. And Russ loved it. He loves it when it's just crazy.
It's so good. It's so good.
And when we say random, we don't mean like just the random shit that we do. We mean like we didn't make decisions.
We just rolled dice forever.
We just rolled, baby. We let Lady Luck just like cast her wonderful charms upon us, or not.
I had no prep, very little prep. I basically just recycled prep from another game that I ran not too long ago and said, like a character.
And it turned out nothing like that.
And boy, did they.
Yeah. Russ knows that he can just give Carla and I just even the basic, most basic idea, maybe. And then we will be like, we've got this.
I feel like you said cheekbones, and then that was the whole game.
I think that was it. I said, I have amazing cheekbones, and then it began.
That was it.
So you have that to look forward to in January. It's going to be called Cheekbones, the saga.
No, it's not.
It'll be called something, because
I already titled it.
I don't remember. So now it's called Cheekbones, the saga.
No prep ep. It rhymes.
It's going to be called Mic Placement Amy.
No prep ep. Suck on that, poppin' peas.
Thank you all for leaving reviews. We'll be reading some more in the very near future from people who have sent them to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you haven't left a review and haven't subscribed, there's no contest right now, but we would really appreciate you doing so. And if you do, let us know, because we'll say thank you and give you internet hugs, because that's what we like to do too. Okay, back to the episode. Okay, bye.
How far away from the horses am I?
60 feet.
60 feet?
God damn it.
Come on, Russ.
So far.
I'm going to move as close. Well, I did. That's my bad. I'm going to move as close as I can towards the horses, which is about halfway. And in the meantime, I'm going to grab my dwarven thrower, and I'm going to throw it 3 goddamn times.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is like just a clump of zombies and skeletons. He's got to take out like multiples.
I'm going to go for the one that's on Clip-Clop first.
Okay.
Provided I have a visual line of sight.
There are 3, and yes, you would be able to hit any number of them.
Perfect. All right. First one is 19.
That will hit.
Perfect.
I'll give you AC here. AC is going to be 8.
Oh, I can't roll bad enough unless it's a crit fail then.
Okay, well, just make sure you don't roll a crit fail and you're good.
Okay, I'll just roll all 3 attacks then, yep. Or would you like me to spread them out between people? Okay. Nope, that's not a crit fail, and that one's not a crit fail. And the best part is, too, I can re-roll crit fails when they happen.
So really, I can't miss.
You just can't lose.
Okay, so that is going to be 1d8 plus 8 to every single thing that I've hit.
Are you going for this? I guess you can kind of take it one at a time.
Here. Yeah, first one is the one on Clip-Clop. That's an 11 for damage.
Yeah, so it hits hard. Blood splattering out, but it's still standing.
Okay, second one again for that one. That's a 14.
And it drops, hits it in the head, which explodes all over the side of the horse.
Oh. Perfect. And we'll,
the horse
change.
Is like, oh, good. God.
We'll go to one of the other ones that's on the horses.
Okay.
And that is 13 damage.
Another one on Tiny drops. One on Tiny drops, because the one on the Clip-Clop dropped before.
Perfect.
Okay. Anything else?
I should also let Carla know the stats on that sword so that when she goes to use it, she has accurate rolling abilities.
Probably a good idea, because it's Beefy Boy's up next.
Yeah. All right. It is plus 5 to hit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, whatever bonus you have with your character, add on to that. Mm-hmm. And it's 2d6 damage-wise.
Okay.
So, yeah, strength plus proficiency for hitting plus 5.
Yes.
So, probably like a plus 14. And then just
strength plus proficiency bonus plus 5?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And then your damage will be strength plus 5. I think. Maybe plus proficiency too. I don't know. It's going to be a lot.
Well, except that I think I'm still 60 feet away. So I'm just bristly walking there for the rest of my turn.
Good dash. You could dash.
Good dash. I don't know how many attacks you have.
I have many attacks.
So dash would take one action, which would get you there.
Okay, great. Then I'm going to dash.
Okay.
And then I'll use my nice borrowed sword my new best friend gave me, and that is a 21.
So I'm going to say you're going to the skeletons, which are first in if you're getting into melee. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they have, I'll give you their AC. Their AC is 13. So that will definitely.
Okay. So then you said 2d6, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, I rolled 2 1s, so great. But still 2 damage to one of them. And then I'll attack again.
Plus 5, plus
yeah,
strength.
You'll get plus 5 on top of that too.
Oh, okay. 7 damage.
Plus strength.
Is there any more pluses? Or
I mean, I said them all a couple times, but plus strength. Plus 5.
Sorry,
that's okay.
So, plus 9. So, 11 damage.
All right. One of them
goes down.
Okay, so then I'll use my other attack. It's a nat 20.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So 46.
46?
46.
Plus 5. Plus strength. Strength.
So 10, 14, 19, 23.
This one is just obliterated. Skeletons go flying everywhere. Or skeleton goes flying everywhere. Two skeletons are now down. Donnie!
Oh, God. Imagine I don't know if I can... what's happening over here, guys?
Wait, you're supposed to wait a half hour.
Okay. When you guys clear out those horsies, I'm gonna blast them with fire. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm just gonna... I can see some more coming, so hurry up.
Are there any left in the way?
In the way of what?
No, I'm asking you if there are any left in the way.
Of the horses?
Zombies or yeah, there's, skeletons?
There's two zombies, four zombies still left. Nope, three zombies still left. And two skeletons. The zombies are right next to the horses, which is what he's saying.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, the horses can take a turn here and try and move, but...
They're in the middle of combat. They would get it.
Yeah.
No, don't move. It's okay, you guys. We're coming for you.
Okay. He's waiting until those move. So the zombies are going to take a turn. I guess the horses could try and kick here.
I tried to look up... Oh, it's war horse. I was looking for giant
horse. Yeah, horses are going to try and hooves damage.
Yeah, hoof it.
One will hit, the other will not. So we'll say Tiny will hit, Clip-Clop will not. Tiny's going to get 2d6 plus 4 bludgeoning damage.
Oh, it sucks getting kicked by a horse.
9 bludgeoning damage, which crushes the skull of one of the zombies on it. Clip-Clop is not so lucky. Now it's the zombies' turns. One will hit... Tiny. The others will not hit Clip-Clop, so that's going to be 7 more damage on Tiny.
What are Tiny's stats?
So Tiny has 30 hit points. He's taken 19 damage.
Oh, my baby!
Clip-Clop has 19. He's taken 6. Skeletons, draw their swords and move towards Beefy Boy. That's going to probably not be very good. 17 is the highest. Then they miss. Distraught with their friends being shattered all over the street, they begin crying, or what you can presume is crying. And it's Thea's turn.
Who knew they felt feelings? Okay.
Skeletons act as they would in the real life.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, I'm going to call lightning. Wait, where? One's on a horse, and there are two skeletons?
On Beefy Boy.
Two skeletons on Beefy Boy, one is on a horse. Okay, never mind, there's three of them. I'm just going to fucking Eldritch Blast again. Okay, here we go. Here we go. That is 23. And 25. And 12.
All.
Such a drop off.
I know.
Which ones are you going for? One on each?
Yes.
The.
So it was skeleton, zombie.
Okay, you'll hit everybody then.
Neat. Okay. 1d10 force. Come on. More than I got last time. That's a 10 for a skeleton.
Yay.
That's a 9 for the other skeleton.
For a skeleton 9.
And that's another 10 for the zombie.
For the zomb 10.
10B.
You drop all three of those things.
Boom!
Eldritch Blast fly out, shattering bones and zombie ichor. I think I lost count, but I think there's one zombie left. So it's Guak's turn.
Guak is going to go for that zombie. Squawk is going to, like,
pick it up, fly up into the air, and then drop it 80 feet.
Oh, that's always a dramatic move.
Yeah. Yeah, Squawk does that.
Make a strength check.
Plus one? Is that 14?
So Squawk kind of shrugs you off and drops you to the ground.
Oh, no, I had already hopped off of Squawk, I assume. Oh, okay. Because in order to do a talon attack, I assume I'd be dead weight.
Okay, fair enough. Anyways, so yeah, Squawk does go pick
sure,
up
no,
this
yeah,
zombie.
Sure, no, yeah, she dumps me. There we go. Looks better.
Squawk dumps you off. You fall to the ground on your ass. I was trying to make it all majestic as fuck, and then you interrupted my story.
In a puddle. You fell on your ass in a puddle.
I deserve it.
You got muddy shorts now. Picks up this zombie and takes it high into the air and see her take it forward a little bit and drop it. And it's going to splat into the ground like a pancake. Now there's zombie puddle. As you are now out of combat, and you see coming down the walk behind you, the horde of zombies moving down the street towards you.
I run and I wrap my arms around Tiny, and I cure wounds to her. So she gets 1d8 plus 4. 10.
Great. Okay, you're out of combat. What do you do?
Let's get the fuck out of here, you guys.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. Where do we go?
I'd suggest just away from here.
Just away?
As an immediate
perfect
plan.
All right, let's go back to Waterdeep. Let's head back in that direction. I think they need to know about this special. What?
It's always Waterdeep.
It's always Waterdeep. That's how I knew. I think they need to know about this. This is a lot more than just the three of us can do.
Yeah, this is like a whole death cult thing going on here.
The ground, the same tremors you felt down in the basement, now you can feel them where you stand.
Yeah, we're hopping on those horses.
I will take the owl.
Everybody,
well, on the wagon anyway.
Everybody hops in on the wagon and or is flying slowly behind you, and you peel out down the main road and get back on the main road out of Blackpool, which wraps around a black lake. And you feel the tremors growing as you are leaving the town, and an explosion goes, and you turn and look back, and the city erupts and then gets sucked back into the ground and is nothing but debris and rubble.
Oh, I yell down. That kind of takes care of that.
I mean, we still got to tell people, though, this is a thing that's happening.
Yeah, no, totally, but I mean, yeah.
The song Nowhere Land is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music, sound effects, and ambience can be found at epidemicsound.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Ryan Cushman, Gabriel Lynch, Joshua Dixon, Devin Michaels, Cat Waterflame, and Jacob Madden. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you get exclusive content, including an entire exclusive campaign, Dungeons Downtime episodes, early access to our new show Facing Fate, which kicks off January 2020, as well as a whole slew of other amazing bonus exclusive content. Visit patreon.com/dumbdragoncast to check it out today.
I just thought you were, like, basically sleeper holding me.
So, considering I'm like a foot taller than you two, awkward as fuck piggyback ride.
Both of you are starting down this hallway. Burritos.
Hallway.
Tonight's enemy,
burritos. Hallway burritos.
How are you going to get through these monologues when you eat burritos?
Okay. Get out of here.
Thanks. You run.
Russ, we get out of there.
You head back.
How long does it take us to get out of here?
It's going to take forever because guess what? You're all dead.
We wake up in the maze.
Oh, God, no.
Boom.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears. Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a podcast which combines the art and beauty of classic literature with the fun of Dungeons & Dragons roleplay. These episodes are led by me, Kate, your master teacher, which is Dungeon Master meets High School English teacher. We take on quests in these fascinating worlds, meeting and adventuring with the greatest literary characters of all time, solving puzzles set up by the dubious Dr. Frankenstein.
One eye is over there, and the other eye is rolled over there.
Exactly right.
Hunting Moby Dick alongside Captain Ahab.
I've rolled a one.
Oh, you rolled a one!
Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a faithful yet irreverent way to interact with the stories which have influenced us for centuries. Plus, it's a much more exciting way to experience literature than writing an essay. Essays don't have swords which burst into flame, or poop monsters hiding in toilets.
Anybody got some poop for me?
A new episode of Mice and Men and Monsters is released every other Wednesday, wherever you listen to podcasts.